Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and, of course, contentment. I want to congratulate the defeat of Jesse James Day's crew. They were down at the Eagles last night and they're putting on a supper, a spaghetti supper. And boy, I'll tell you what, there were hundreds of people that attended thanks to a little hard work by the Chamber of Commerce. And the people that are in town overnight, stayed overnight last night on their biking trek for multiple sclerosis. So we want to say thank you to those individuals that worked, but more importantly, thank you to the people that came, because any money earned is for the bleachers. You know, we had to take the bleachers down at the Jesse James Lanes. And we got a new set of bleachers from a racetrack, and then they have to be put up, and they have to get that done. Well, let's see, we have about a month to get that done, or a little bit more, and it's going to be a lot of work. But once up, they'll be beneficial in regards to your seating at the very popular rodeo held on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and Saturday night during Defeat of Jesse James Days. And I also ran into Noel and Lois Stratmon. They are this year's Defeat of Jesse James Days honoree for the Joseph Lee Haywood Community Service Award. We have somebody very interesting in the studio this morning. Thank you to my wife's Aunt Millie. And he is the pastor of that beautiful church over in, between Denison and Cannon Falls, I guess I would say, on County Road 9. It's the one that has the yellow flashing light in the middle of the highway, overhung, of course. And it's called the Erland.
Yeah,
there we go.
Erland, if you're going for the original Norwegian.
Erland, okay. Well, my Aunt Millie is a parishioner there, and her deceased husband was also a worshiper there, and the family over there, and they've been there for many, many years. And last Sunday, I stopped along with my wife to visit her Aunt Millie and asked how things were going, and she it got into the conversation about her day, and she talked about the great service that you had outside, I believe, last Sunday. And I was anticipating meeting you because she was very fond of you and said you were very talented and interesting. And then I come in to learn that you're just a puppy.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, basic, compared to me and Aunt Millie,
right.
I should probably introduce you. You like to go by Pastor Drew.
I do.
And you're Andrew Yackel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you graduated from high school in 2006.
That's right.
So that's why I said you're just a puppy. But thank you for coming in.
Yeah. You know, I just recently, back in May, spoke at the Cannon Falls Baccalaureate service, and I realized my age at that point, because the graduates probably looked at me as an old guy, and their parents, I'm sure, looked at me as a young pup. So it's kind of an interesting age to be a pastor.
And how old are you, so I don't have to do the math? Or here, I'll tell you what. Let me do the math, all right?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, 88, 1988?
87, December 87, so yeah, okay. Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now here's the deal. I asked you if you would bring your guitar, and you said, well, I'm not very good at it. And I said, so what? Then I asked you if you would sing a song or a hymn, and you said, okay, I'll do that. And so I'm going to go back to your speech in Cannon Falls. I have many, many people here in Northfield that I've talked to over the years that have graduated from 1939 on up, and I ask, who gave your speech at your graduation? And only one, maybe two, could remember. That's how much impact a speech has on individuals. Mm-hmm. So I hope you did something to make them never forget you. But that's pretty interesting that you were selected to do that. How did that happen?
Well, that's something that is organized by our, what you might call our community ministerium, or kind of our group of local clergy. We organize a number of things, from the Feed My Starving Children packing event to baccalaureate service to there's a community meal that we serve every month, and kind of take turns. Different congregations serve different months. So there are a number of things, but the baccalaureate service is one of those things, and it was just my turn. So,
Were you excited about that? Were you trepidation?
Yeah. Okay. It was a different, different setting than I'm used to, right? Not the normal Sunday morning crowd, but it was fun for me because I got to recall my baccalaureate service in 2006, right? And I actually do remember the speaker.
Wow, you're number three then.
Yes.
Who was it?
Well, it was a local pastor of a denomination which shall not be named, because the reason I remember him is because he kind of went on a rant about, we all need to be careful as young people going off into college, that there are many, many dangers out there, and if you're not careful, you'll end up on the devil's porch, and before you know it, you'll end up in the devil's bedroom. So he warned us of all the dangers of sexual immorality, and kind of named a laundry list of different things. And it was, I just remember feeling really kind of infantilized, and like we didn't know any better, and we were being lectured. So I talked about that in my talk, and I said, that's not the message I needed to hear as a graduating senior. What I wanted to hear about was how I could use the light that God gave me to shine into the world, and how God calls us to do that. And, for you graduating seniors, this is the time where you really get to step out and step into that calling that God has called you to. So that's kind of where I went with it. I'm grateful to that pastor.
Because
he will go unnamed. Because he gave me a nice little jumping off point there for.
Did you go to a parochial school, high school?
I went to a public high school in Windom, Minnesota.
And they had a man of God give the speech, or the.
Yeah, I suppose you could call him a man of God. He was a clergy person, pastor. In one of the local churches.
Okay, mm-hmm. In Windom, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. All right. So now you had in that. Because you use that as kind of a background, mm-hmm. You had the opportunity to do both.
Right. Yes, exactly. So I kind of put myself in the shoes of both. Yeah.
And I'm really discouraged because of all the rules and regulations and laws and protesters and all that about any form of religion being expressed in a public place, mm-hmm. And to ask a pastor, mm-hmm. a Christian, to give the speech is kind of like surprising to me because mm-hmm. of all the, people that are offended by having a Catholic or a Protestant or a Muslim sure. give a speech.
Yeah, yeah, and I suppose you should make the distinction that, a baccalaureate service is intended to be kind of a faith-based event, separate from the school's kind of official graduation ceremony.
Okay, and that is attended by choice?
Correct, yes.
Is it a small percentage of the graduating class?
This year in Cannon Falls, I would have to check the numbers, but we had a good showing. A good number of the seniors came to the service. It was hosted by St. Pius V Catholic Church there in town. And, many of us local pastors were there to support our graduates and offer our blessing.
Well, I'm glad I got a lesson there because I was thinking you were speaking to the entire class.
Yeah.
So they probably don't have a man of the cloth or a woman of the cloth at the official graduation ceremony.
Yeah, I don't think so, at least not this year. I don't know if they have a policy about that. But, you raise an interesting issue about, what is the role of faith in the public square? And, we have in our Constitution this notion of the separation of church and state, which, I think is important in a democratic society such as ours. But I don't think it precludes the role of faith in shaping a person's engagement with the public square. So, you can have a congressperson who may be acting out their faith in the way that they represent their constituents. I think, we see that a lot, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. However, I think also sometimes faith gets misused in the public square to justify a lot of horrible things. So it's an interesting balance, and I think, our country is unique in the way that it gets played out. I'm thankful that we live in a country where we can express our faith and in a public way, and yet there are ways that establish, right? The establishment clause, right? The government shall make no establishment of any particular religion, right? I think that's the important piece there, that we leave it open for free expression of all faiths.
And then there was a conversation, I recall, several years ago when some public schools and public places were accommodating Muslims by putting in a foot shower. Mm. Because of their need to clean their feet as part of their religious ceremony. Mm. And they put them in public places, and people protested that they were accommodating.
Mm.
So, what can you say?
Yeah, it's still being played out as to, where are the lines. And, I think you can be accommodating without, without establishing, I've talked to a lot of people who see the retreat of prayer in public schools as almost as a threat to the way they live out their faith. And, what I always say to those people is, well, no one's stopping you from praying. You can still pray in a school. It's just that the school is not officially sanctioning that. And so there's a difference between...
But if they provide a room at a specific time,
yes,
that would be accommodating.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it would be.
And accommodating can be good.
Mm-hmm.
I had parochial schooling up until my junior year in high school. So I was really happy about three things. I could wear what I want, I could wear my hair the way I wanted, and I could talk to girls. I thought that was pretty accommodating.
Yes. Yeah.
It's 16 minutes after 9 o'clock on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning is the Reverend, I got to write this down because I don't want, you have three names, and I'm going to write those down, and then you have a preference. Okay,
sure.
Let's see how good I am at this. You're Andrew. Mm-hmm. Is that right so far?
It's my given name, yeah.
Okay, Andrew. And then the last name is spelled...
Y-A-C-K-E-L.
Okay.
E-L.
Okay. And your middle name is...
Well, so that's part of... if you want to go into the long story of how my name is my name.
Yes, we have 2 hours.
Right now, my middle name is actually hyphenated. Martin hyphen Julien.
Okay, so, what's the story behind Martin hyphen Julien?
Yeah, J-U-L.
J-U-L.
E-E-N.
E-E-N, okay. What's the story behind Martin Julien?
So Martin is my given middle name. That has to do with, well, my parents said it's kind of a tribute both to the reformer Martin Luther and to the civil rights leader and activist Martin Luther King Jr., who himself was, you know, named after Martin Luther. Both my parents are pastors, so that's kind of part of my identity, and it works its way into my name in that way. The Julien actually used to be part of my last name. When my parents married, they combined their last names and hyphenated. So, and then us kids all had the same last name. So we were the Yackel Juliens, Yackel hyphen Julien. But when I married, my wife, my dear wife Angelica, and I had to make a compromise, she wanted to take one of the names, but not both. So we decided to go with the Yackel part, and then I moved the Julien to my middle name. Interestingly enough, my sister just got married a couple years ago, and she decided to take the Julien part, and she hyphenated with her husband's last name. So they're the Stamos Juliens.
Okay. Thank you for explaining.
No, I hope I haven't bored you too much.
No, I notice Yackel. Are you from the family of hockey players?
Yeah, so you must be thinking of Ken Yackel, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I have a story.
Okay.
But I want yours first, or do you want mine first?
Oh, well, all I have is I've heard some stories. I don't want to. There's one that I probably shouldn't tell because it might not be true.
Well, I can maybe verify it.
Okay. Well, I'll just say for now that I do know that there is a distant relationship. I believe Ken Yackel was my grandfather's second cousin, okay, something like that.
That'd be about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because when I was a kid going to St. Matthew's in St. Paul, I played a little hockey, and our playground guy was Ken Yackel. Mm. That's what he did, helped the kids. He was probably in college at the time. And then years and years later, and by the way, as a coach, he was really good. Mm. But we couldn't afford the equipment and used makeshift things like for shin pads. We used some woman's product and magazines.
Oh.
and so we protect our shins and tape them on. But years later, we got a pizza place here in town, and it was called the Godfather's. It's now over where the new hotel is being built on 2nd and Water Street, or Highway 3. Anyhow, I go in there to sell them radio advertising, and holy cow, Ken Yackel. I said, I'm Wayne Eddy. And he said, yeah. I said, you used to coach me at Baker Playground. He said, oh, yeah. Well, I knew that he couldn't remember me because I was, you know, he was older than I am. This is back in the 70s, I think. And my good friend, the late Danny Hyatt, was a general manager down there at the Godfather's Pizza. So it was just, my story is how it's so, it's just fun to run into people that were part of your life, and all of a sudden they're back in for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And that will happen to you particularly because you have members of the church or churches that you will be a preacher at. Mm-hmm. And like Aunt Millie, she still has people say, oh, Mrs. Onstead.
Yes.
Because she was a teacher.
A teacher, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's 9:23 on 1080, and you told me your Yackel story? And I told mine.
Yes.
We're done with that, all right?
Sounds good.
Okay. Now, I have to talk about a place here in Northfield. Now, where do you live, right next to your church?
No, I live in the town of Cannon Falls.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But is that still a place for the pastor to live next door?
That used to be the parsonage.
Yeah.
It was sold a number of years ago, but now we do have members of the congregation who live there. In fact, they are custodians.
That's kind of nice.
Works out pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, do you live in like downtown Northfield or Cannon Falls or?
Kind of on the north end of town. If you know Cannon Falls, Ridgecrest Drive, neighborhood that kind of built up in the 90s. So we're there in the little white Rambler.
To kind of get me an idea, if I go to Cannon Falls and I get to the stop and go light, is that the only one in town?
There are two. No, that's the only one.
Well, I was here when we didn't have any, but now we have seven on Highway 3. Okay, so I get to the stop and go light. I take a left.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do I then cross the Cannon River?
Cross the river, across the 4th Street Bridge. Yep.
Okay. And then I go out by the, not Dairy Queen, but the little shop that has ice cream cones and all that?
You could. The shorter way would be to turn right on the Dakota Street, past the True North Church. No. And then you follow the curve, and there's Ridgecrest.
Okay.
Right there on the right, and you would turn right onto there.
And last year you weren't far from the parade route?
Yes. Now I'm forgetting the parade route. Wasn't really in our neighborhood, but
close to it.
Nothing's too far in Cannon Falls.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all walking distance.
And the quarterback club here in Northfield is not too far from here, and they've been around for 50 plus years, and it's locally owned, locally managed, and they have delicious roasted chicken, baby back barbecued ribs. But right now they're serving breakfast. They do every morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And it can be anything you want, bacon and eggs, ham, sausage, pancakes, waffles, donuts, you name it, they got it, and they're quick. You go in, you put your order, and then go sit down, and by the time you're comfortable, bam, there's that food. They're that good and that fast and that delicious. The Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota. It is 26 minutes after 9 o'clock, and my guest this morning is Andrew Martin Julien Yacko, but he goes by Pastor Drew. And did you... yesterday when I was talking to you about coming over, you seem pretty adamant about wanting to be referred to as Pastor Drew.
Yeah, it's so much easier than Andrew Martin Julien Yacko, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. And was that started when you were a young minister, maybe a youth minister, and it was easier for the kids to just say, "Hey, Pastor Drew, how you doing?"
Well, it was actually, first of all, I'm in my first call right now. Erland is the first congregation I've served since seminary, I'm the solo pastor there, and of course, yeah, I do youth ministry and everything else, but I just thought it's probably the most relatable, easiest way to refer to me. I like to keep the pastor in there because it's, a reminder of the office. And go with the first name because it's, more relatable. So I try to keep it somewhat formal and yet informal, you know.
It's like radio. You like to have three syllables for your name on radio from the old days. Uh-huh. And mine is a natural Wayne Eddy. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Drew, mm-hmm. three syllables, easy to remember.
It works out.
Yeah, I have to take a break, but I have to ask you, do you remember the numbers that the fella out there in the green room with you said we should play as bumper music for you?
I believe he said 4, 7, 9.
7, 9.
And maybe 5?
5. Well, we'll find out. If you hear it and you know. See, folks, here's the deal. My bumper music from the years that my guests have graduated from high school or college, once you get past 1995 for sure, I don't know the music, and I don't know which ones are going to be vulgar or not. And boy, can they be vulgar. But they do have what they call radio edit, and those are what the stations play nowadays. And when I got these all downloaded, they weren't radio edit. They were the songs. And they use some pretty nasty music or They paint a dirty picture in some of the songs for some people. We will be back and talk to Pastor Drew about how he ended up in Cannon Falls at Erlin Church on County Road 9.
Me, your stomach, down here, you know, the one who can talk. Anyway, I was just at a yoga sesh with a few of the other stomachs, and mid tree pose, everyone started talking about Subway's new savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. It's a mouthful to say, I know, but with creamy Caesar dressing and double the rotisserie-style chicken, it's not the only thing that's full, if you know what I mean. It's me. I'm the one that's full. Because I'm a stomach. That's kind of what I do. Subway, make it what you want. Double meat based on average 6-inch sub.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
When you take your family on a...
One of the songs you said we can play. Do you know it?
Oh gosh, it sounds familiar. My life is brilliant. I'm trying to think of the artist.
My love is pure. I saw an angel of Adam Shaw. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man.
Huh. You don't know it, huh?
I don't. You know, I really didn't listen to Top 40 radio in high school. Oh, I know. Okay, you're beautiful.
You're beautiful. It's true.
The name of the guy that is singing You're Beautiful, the number 4 song of all of 2006, is James Blunt. James
right.
Blunt.
James.
Well, you can't use the word blunt anymore. That has a different meaning, and it doesn't mean I'm being blunt.
Right.
But anyhow, it's 9:30 on KYMN Radio, and it's my honor to have a gentleman by the name of Andrew Martin Julien Yackel here, or let's just call him Pastor Drew from the Erlin Church on County Road 9. And, you know... One of the things that you see when you go on County Road 9, some of the beautiful things that you see are your church. And then the Hernke's big, beautiful flag that they flew all the time.
Yes.
The late Mr. Hernke.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two milestone mark. Well, I think when I cross 56, I always think of the storage of... concrete, or not concrete, but sand and stuff, but on the way. And then I remember going down into Sogan and coming.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put it on automatic and see, you know, our cruise drive and see how that works on those hills.
Mm.
And on a car that I have, it works hard and changes RPMs. And on my motorcycle, you can hear a little bit of a change, but the RPMs always say the same in the same speed always.
Huh.
And I wonder, why are they different? But I'll ask somebody, do you know why?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. So I won't talk about it that much, all right? Well, what I like to do here, Pastor Drew, is find out where you were born. Were you like west of in Minnesota in Windham?
That's where I grew up. Really, my formative years were... in Windham. It's where I went to middle school and high school.
How about grade school?
For a lot of my grade school years, I was in Fulda, which is not too far from Windham.
That's where Patrick Royce was born.
Okay, okay.
Fulda.
Yes, Fulda. It's a good German town.
Did you, how many grades did you spend there?
Let's see, that would have been... from preschool till fourth grade.
Okay, and you got little memory of that community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both your mother and father are ministers.
Correct.
And do they? Is it a team when they get chosen by a church or get a call?
For a long time, they were a ministry team, along with one other pastor and an intern, and they served for a long time an area parish, which is getting to be a more common way of doing ministry, especially in western parts of the state and further west you go, as communities are smaller, they're finding they have to kind of pool their resources to do ministry. So they served five congregations, and then with the four pastors, and then there was also an educational retreat center called Shalom Hill Farm that was part of that ministry.
Shalom?
Shalom, yes.
Is that Jewish?
Yes, that's the Hebrew word for peace.
Okay.
So my parents started that retreat ministry, Shalom Hill Farm. They're the executive directors for, they started in 92, and just in 2 years ago kind of stepped down from that role and have handed off that that leadership to a lovely young couple who are now the new directors. And since then, my parents have moved to Northeast Iowa, where my mom is now serving another area parish, four congregations, one in Faith Parish centered around Arlington, Iowa. They live in Elkader. And my dad is actually now teaching at Wartburg Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa.
Okay. So, when you say area parish, are you talking about services being held at a number of different churches?
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets down to your mom, who is serving an area parish, she has to have a very busy schedule on Sunday.
Yes, she does. Yes. Yeah, she's often jumping from one congregation to another. Usually, I think she's doing two different congregation worship services on a Sunday morning. And she's working with another guy who is part of the team program, which I don't want to bore you with the details of.
And it's a learning experience for me and many, many listeners.
Sure. The team program is kind of a way to raise up leaders in the church in the settings where they are currently serving. So a person could, in this guy's instance, he was the camp director at the Lutheran Bible camp down there in what's called Iwalu. And he felt the call to ministry. So through the team program, you can start serving in a sort of pastoral role as an intern and learn how to be a pastor, really. Without having to move away to St. Paul to go to Luther Seminary or, wherever it is, Chicago. So you can kind of start where you're at. And we're finding out in theological education that we need to raise up leaders in multiple different ways. The old model of expecting everyone to come and live on campus of the seminary and, do a full load, full-time student. We're just learning that that doesn't work for everyone anymore.
Did it work for you?
It worked for me.
Okay. Now, are you associated with ELCA?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's 9:35 on KYMN Radio, the Wayne Eddy Affair out of Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is Pastor Drew from Cannon Falls and the Erland Church. A beautiful old church that now has an elevator, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when it didn't. So
yes.
That's why I bring that up. So did your mom then go back and forth to, were services like 9 and 10:30 or 8:30 and 10:30? How did she?
Yeah, they'd have to space them and factor in travel time.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Right.
So I'm assuming that one of the advantages of that mm-hmm. is as you prep your sermon, you give it at 9 o'clock, and then at 10:30 you give it again, which is probably even more confident. Not that there's lack of confidence, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You do the same thing more than once, you're going to get better at it usually.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to ask my mom how that kind of plays out for her. She and I are both more toward the manuscript type of preaching where we kind of write out what we want to say and then deliver it, not read it, but, deliver it. And but I would suspect that, maybe she does tweak it a little bit on the way to the next congregation in her head. Oh, what could I do better for this time. I think that's probably true.
And you get to only do one service a week?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when does a pastor start writing his sermon?
Why?
Sunday afternoon?
No, not for me. Okay. I need Sunday afternoon to rest. Sometimes have meetings too. But, you know, my process, and it's probably different for everyone, every pastor, but my process is to kind of, by Sunday night, I'm looking at, I should say Monday. On Monday morning, I'm looking at the text for the coming Sunday. And then Tuesday mornings, we have a men's Bible study at Erland.
6:30.
Yep. We had it this morning.
Yep. You're fresh from Bible study.
Yeah. I'm up bright and early. And so by that point, I've already done some reading of commentaries, and there's a podcast I like to listen to. It comes out of Luther Seminary, Working Preacher. That helps me to kind of start imagining ways that the word might be preached that coming Sunday. And then I, on Wednesdays, I meet with the other pastors in Cannon Falls, and we have our own text study. And we talk about what's going on in each other's lives and in our congregations. And then we get down to studying the text a little more closely and talk maybe about what we're thinking about preaching.
Now, do all ELCA churches have the same text every Sunday?
Yeah, well, I shouldn't say all. Many ELCA congregations follow what's called the Revised Common Lectionary, RCL for short, which is a set of readings that many mainline denominations and Roman Catholics follow relatively closely. So there's usually a gospel reading, a reading from the Old Testament, a psalm, and a reading from, usually it's an epistle or one of Paul's letters. And you'd have all of those read on a Sunday. Not all ELCA congregations will do that. Some follow what's called the narrative lectionary. That's beginning to catch on. It's a new thing. That the idea there is you start with, really start with the creation story, the very beginning in Genesis. And then as the year progresses, you work through the entire arc of the biblical narrative. You won't hit every story, but you'll hit kind of the big ones.
Including the Old Testament?
Including the Old Testament.
That's kind of hard, isn't it?
Well, you'd have to ask my colleagues who do that. I think it's interesting. I haven't done narrative lectionary myself, but I see the appeal and I see the advantage there. What they're trying to do is to show the to show how it all fits together, right? Because often when we have these lectionary texts, it's, you know, gospel, psalm, Old Testament, New Testament, it all gets chopped up, and it's hard to see how it all sort of fits together, and that the Bible really is, in a lot of ways, a single continuous narrative, beginning with creation and ending with the new creation, that the promise of new creation that we hear about in Revelation and everything that happens in between.
Revelation, that's a fun one to study.
Yes.
What's your favorite book?
My favorite book of the Bible? That's a good question. All of them.
Really?
That's a cop-out. No. I think my favorite gospel is probably the Gospel of Luke.
Oh.
I also love John. They're both great. Luke I like because it's so well told. It's just whoever wrote Luke was a master storyteller, great at using details. Mark is kind of it's the quick and dirty, you know, only the facts. You know, let's just get it out there and be done. It moves very quickly. Matthew seems to be more concerned with priestly things, so I don't get into that one as much, but Luke has just a way of really telling a story. And I don't know if you know this, but the book of Acts, we know, is written by the same writer as Luke. So you really have to read Luke along with Acts. It's one continuous story. And then John's great too. It's different than all the other three, but it's great for preaching. But I the Bible is such an interesting collection of books. It's one book, but it's also kind of a library at the same time.
My wife once said, and I'm not, what would you compare it to as being written flowerly?
Oh, yes.
Because she said that was her favorite, and I can't remember what it is.
Maybe like the Song of Solomon, that's pretty flowery. Mm-hmm. Or some of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into what it was like growing up in the little town that you were born in and raised through the fourth grade. And that was, what was that town?
Fulda.
Fulda.
Actually,
that's
we lived in Dundee, which is
Dundee,
a town of 100 people,
uh-huh.
Named after the city in Scotland, a little railroad town. So that's where my dad had his first call as a pastor.
And I am going to take this break, and then I will be back, all right? All right. We are listening to the 1080 Radio Show on KYMN and also 95.1 FM.
When you take your family on a little getaway.
Dad, are we there yet?
Mom, Johnny hit me.
I'm hungry.
Don't spend your vacation waiting for a tow truck. Visit Elite Auto Care for an inspection before you go. They can repair your air for a cool and safe trip. Elite Auto Care will also replace those worn out tires or brakes. Now, while they can't do anything about whiny kids, they can make it a safer, more comfortable trip for everyone. Find them 6 days a week at 517 Water Street, Northfield, or online at EliteAutoCareMN.com.
We're back on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. It is 16 minutes before it is 10 o'clock, and we are talking to Pastor Drew, born in and raised to the fourth grade in Dundee, Minnesota. Dundee, we have a Dundas, you know,
right
down the road. And so you went to the public schools then?
Mm-hmm.
And there, do you have any recollection of your school years up to the fourth grade?
Yeah, and actually I did start in a parochial school. At preschool and kindergarten, I went to the Missouri Synod School, St. Paul's it was called, in Fulda, quite simply because there were no other options. That was the preschool. So, yeah, I started in a Missouri Synod School, and even though my father was an ELCA pastor, yeah, and then I was there at the public school through fourth grade.
Any you learn how to ride a bike there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was your first bike?
I think it was a Huffy. It was like a blue green Huffy, and it was pretty. I remember it as being pretty beat up. We took that thing everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Do you have siblings?
I do. My
Who's the oldest of the children?
I am.
Oh, you are.
I'm the responsible one.
Okay, and then after that, irresponsible kids are
my sister Elizabeth.
Do you call her Liz?
We do call her Liz.
Okay, yeah. How much younger is she than you?
She's 2 years younger than me.
Okay,
and then my younger brother Eli.
Eli,
mm-hmm.
Is there a nickname for Eli? Like E.
Yeah, right. You can't get much shorter than Eli.
How much younger is Eli?
He's 7 years younger than
seven?
Me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Any after that?
Nope, that's us three.
So you're the big brother.
That's right.
You're the one that your mom and dad finally said, oh, he's responsible enough to babysit these two.
Right.
And that happened. Okay. So after getting out of the fourth grade, your folks moved to Windham?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to go into your grandparents, all right?
Yeah.
Because this is a society where people are on the move all over the place all the time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kids, unfortunately, don't get to know their grandparents because they live across country.
Yeah.
How about you? Did you have an opportunity to know your mom and dad's parents?
Yes. My mother's mother and father, my maternal grandparents, are still living, and they live in Circle Pines, Minnesota.
Okay.
Northern suburbs of the Twin Cities.
Up where, isn't there a center up there, Hazelden?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I forget exactly where Hazelden is, but... now my dad's dad and mom are both they've died a number of years ago, but I did get to know them pretty well too.
Well, let's talk about the deceased grandparents, your father's, right?
Sure. Yeah.
What was your grandpa? Are you from a long line of preachers?
No, my parents would be the first in both their families.
Okay.
So my dad's dad, Grandpa John, he went by Rich. He was a mechanic, very blue collar, working guy. He loved his family a lot, and was kind of rougher on the edges. But I always remember Grandpa John because he was the candy grandpa. He always had this big tin of butterscotch candies, and so whenever we came over. Mm-hmm. He had plenty of butterscotch to give us.
Now, he was a mechanic at a garage or a dealership or his own gas station or anything?
Yeah, I believe it was a trucking company's okay. garage. He worked on big rigs.
So did he have his own little shop at home?
He did. Well, their garage, he had all the tools. And I also remember he was really into gadgets. Like, he would buy all the Ronco stuff. yeah. So whatever he saw,
a fisherman and all that. Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah. There are stories my dad has of playing in the garage and getting into trouble. He didn't put the tool back in the right place, and
sounds familiar.
Or inadvertently starting an oil fire from all.
How about your grandma then on your dad's side? Was she the one that? Babied you and said, "Oh, you can have a big piece of apple pie." Or was she a strict grandmother? Get your feet off that carpet.
She wasn't. I guess she wasn't really either. Grandma Jolene, she went by Bernice, but her given name was Elsie. And I guess the story there is she didn't like to be called Elsie because there was Elsie the cow. Yeah,
I remember that. I think that was Borden's that had that. Big cow head sticking out of a billboard, and it was Elsie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was she like a good cook that made homemade foods and all that?
No, she was her heritage is British Isles. And if you know anything about the British, it's that they conquered the world so that they could eat good food because their cooking is horrible.
British bland.
Yes.
You have to say. So, I like to tell the story that we took the tunnel from Paris over to London, and my wife wasn't feeling good. She didn't like being under that water.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out, and I'm in England, and I heard about how bad their food was.
Yeah.
And I was walking, and I said, "Well, there's a sign over there. It was an Italian restaurant."
Yes.
So yeah. I had Italian in England.
Yeah.
But were they religious or your father picked it up on his own?
Yeah, it more the latter. You know, my grandparents, they on my dad's side, they weren't really church-going people, though they did identify as Christian. And I think they would occasionally go, like on Christmas and Easter. So my dad really wasn't brought up in a church setting. It was really when he met my mom, and she was, her family had always been very kind of faithful churchgoers. And so that became important to my dad through my mom. And he felt the call to ministry when... my mom and him served abroad. They actually served as missionaries in Hong Kong for 3 years in the late 80s before I was born. And it was through kind of that experience that my dad thought, oh, maybe there's something here. Maybe God's calling me to be a pastor.
How about on the other side there? What side is it now? Your mother's. Mm-hmm. They're still living, those grandparents?
That's right.
That's good. Are they from Did you just say they were religious people?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did they live nearby? Did you go there on Christmas or Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so, you know, we were down in southwestern Minnesota in Dundee and then Windham, and they were up in Circle Pines. So we would go to visit them relatively frequently, but, you know, having parents with busy work schedules and it wouldn't be all that often. You know, we didn't see them every day or every week, but enough that we knew them well, we know them well.
And they were nice to you at Christmas, mm-hmm. with Christmas presents.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to ask you, as you were growing up, were you considered one of those PKs?
I guess so.
Okay.
Pastor's kid, yep.
Yep, and that can be good. It can be kind of troublesome occasionally.
Yes.
Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock has everything today's farmer needs, from feed, fertilizer, seed, herbicide, and custom application. Farmer's Mill and Elevator has 70 years of experience working with the area farmers to achieve the best possible products. Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock reminds you to take in the Rice County Fair this week and take in the 4-H and FFA exhibits.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Oh, all right.
All right.
I remember this one.
What is it?
This is CeeLo Green. Oh, sorry. Well, no. It is CeeLo Green, but it would be Gnarls Barkley.
That is correct.
Yes. And it's Crazy. Great song.
I like this one.
Me too.
Speaking about music, I see I asked you to bring your guitar, and I see it's there, and after the 10 o'clock news, we'll do a little number, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. I'll have to remember that. I looked at it, and I don't have my glasses on, and I thought, what the heck is that saying? Gnarls. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so now you moved to Windham. Okay, now you moved to Windham, and your parents live in a parsonage in your family?
So at that point, if you remember, the area parish and the retreat center, Shalom Hill Farm, that's when we moved to the site of the retreat center, Shalom Hill Farm. It's an old farmstead that was farmsteaded by an old Irish immigrant. McCully, and so it existed as a farm for 150 years, and when my parents bought it, they had this vision for having a place where future pastors could go to learn about rural ministry, because there was really kind of a gap in the way that we were training pastors in seminaries, really, you had a lot of people who were coming from urban and suburban contexts going to seminary, having no knowledge of what rural life is like, and then often that's where they were sent to serve. So there was a lot of culture shock and a lot of just ignorance. So Shalom Hill Farm, that was kind of the original vision, was that it would be a place where future leaders of the church would be introduced to this. But it's become so much more. It's a retreat center for really anyone who wants to use the place and the space for retreat, for learning events, for church groups to come out. There are quilters who go out there, scrapbookers, local community groups. Part of the vision was that it would be a place where stewardship of the land, stewardship of God's creation was lived out. So a lot of the food that we served to guests was raised right there and we had a couple gardens. We had chickens that laid the eggs, and had sheep and horses that were, you know, kind of to fill out that farm atmosphere. And the buildings were built with an ecological footprint in mind.
Now, did you ride those horses?
No.
You just fed them.
We just fed them and looked at them.
Yeah.
Admired them.
That's a little bit expensive, but the other people that were from the cities said, "Whoa, what is that?" Well, that's called horse. Excuse me. It's horse poop.
Right.
That's what you're smelling.
Yeah.
Oh, Munner. What feels so good? Well, that's because it's a lamb, and you get to feel the cotton before it's made into cotton.
Exactly.
So now you're going off to finish off elementary school. Do you do that in a public school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you're going to go into high school. Was yours the 6 through 9, or how did your transition work from grade school to middle school to high school?
Yeah, well, let's see. So 6th grade would have been the last year I was at the elementary school.
Okay.
And then, 7th grade at the high school. And then before entering 8th grade, that was when Wyndham was building its new middle school, which is attached to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all happening. And in fact, that was the year, I remember it very well, because it was the year the fall 9/11 happened. So September 2001. Of 2001 was the year I entered 8th grade. And I was still at home because the school was still being constructed, so we had a late start. We didn't start till late September, and so I remember, you know, everyone has their 9/11 story, right? Where were you? I was
why don't you save that story?
Sure.
And we'll talk about it on the other side of the news, which is coming up in approximately, well, shortly, and like 10 seconds or so, then we'll pick up at where were you on 9/11?
Mm.
Whereas some of my guests, they say, where were you on December 7th, 1941, or November 22nd, 1963?
Mm.
We'll take a news break on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio from Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, 95.1. The One FM.
Fallout from Helsinki. Russian arrested. I'm John Trout.
There was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with.
President Trump from Finland yesterday. U.S. lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are criticizing Trump for siding with Russia's Vladimir Putin over U.S. intelligence on Russian election meddling.
I think yesterday may end up being the defining moment of the Trump presidency.
Democratic Senator Mark Warner says the president chose the wrong side.
And frankly, it was an embarrassment to all Americans, for that matter, an embarrassment of friends of America all over the world.
Adam Kinzinger is a Republican congressman.
The president has a right, as president, to run foreign policy and to say things. We have a right, as members of Congress, to vehemently disagree. Yesterday wasn't the end of the world, but literally when your only defender is Rand Paul, you have a problem.
Rand Paul is the Republican senator from Kentucky.
What I would say is that all power needs to have checks and balances, and I think our intelligence community has way too much power.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov said the Helsinki summit was better than super. Federal authorities have arrested a Russian woman accused of conspiring to infiltrate American political organizations.
Maria Butina spent years trying to foster relationships with American political operatives, as well as organizations include the National Rifle Association. She spent years trying to build inroads there, and she even used those relationships at one point with one of her mentors, who is Alexander Torshin, who is a Kremlin-linked banker, to try to foster a back channel between Donald Trump at that time, a presidential candidate, and Russian President Vladimir Putin.
There's Sarah Murray reporting. Hawaii tour boat operators will continue taking visitors to see lava flows, but will follow the Coast Guard's revised policy and stay farther away after molten rock barreled through a boat yesterday, injuring 23 people. I'm John Trout.
Now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? let me out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Well, we're back live and in color from our downtown studios with plenty of sunshine. And by the way, I apologize, folks. This is July 17th, and the year is 2018. The reason we try to stamp these interviews is that years later, people will say, when did that take place? I should have done it right in the beginning, but we'll get by. It's the second hour, and it's a Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. And speaking about dates, our guest this morning is Pastor Drew. He is from the Erlin Church out on County Road 9, and his full name is Andrew Martin Julien Yackel, but he goes by Pastor Drew. And you were just going from elementary school to middle school or high school in 2001, because you graduated in 2006. And where were you on that horrible morning, September 11th, 2001?
Well, I remember it pretty well because I, like I was saying earlier, I was at home when most kids my age were in school because our middle school was still under construction. So I was at home just, I believe I was eating a bowl of cereal, watching an old rerun of The Cosby Show, of all shows. And the news came on the TV, and I was alone at the time. I think my parents were off at work. My siblings were still in bed, and taking that in by myself, it was. I didn't really know what was going on at first, and it took kind of the whole day even just to get a grasp on what was happening. It's funny, I work with a lot of the youth in my church. Are younger than that event, so they were not born before this. So it's weird how this day has shaped a lot of our memories, and yet others have no memory. I also remember from that day I was playing football at the time, and we had a practice that afternoon, and it just felt really weird that we had this kind of schedule to maintain and be there to practice, but everyone was still trying to wrap their heads around what was going on, what on earth is happening. But we went on and we practiced and drilled.
Do you think that was appropriate for the coaches to keep the thing going? I know, like, the NFL wondered if they should even play a game on Sundays. Yeah. What was your thinking? Did you say, hey, man, I want to go back home and watch television? This is unbelievable. Yeah. Or did you say, well, I'm glad I'm not watching that now. I'd rather take my mind and be on football.
Yeah, I think it was more the latter, although I can understand why a person would want to, just kind of withdraw and maybe focus on what's happening. But for me, it was, I wanted a sense of normalcy, and that routine kind of helped get back into that sense of normal. Even though things weren't normal, right, mm-hmm. It helped to feel that way.
So were you playing on a B squad or a junior, or what was the title of the squad that you played with in the eighth grade?
Yeah, we just kind of called it the eighth grade team. And
okay.
Then in Wyndham, once you were a ninth grader, kind of the junior varsity. And then
the JV. Yeah.
Yep.
How long did you play?
Just that year. Only eighth grade. You mentioned the coaches. That was pretty much the reason. I didn't really enjoy it because, well, first of all, I still am pretty a small guy. I was really small back then. I hadn't really hit my growth spurt yet, or was just hitting it then. And they, for some reason, chose to make me the tight end. So I was on the offensive line blocking these giant defensive ends, getting knocked on my butt most of the time. On defense, I got to dish it out a little bit. I played cornerback, and so I got to, make some tackles, and that was fun. But our coaches were just, they were so focused on perfection, and they were just never happy with us, never happy. We went undefeated that season, and yet we never once got a congratulations or you guys are doing great. They never used any sort of positive affirmations. So it's just kind of demoralizing. And I thought, this isn't fun.
No.
So
not even after the season was over?
No.
Just, you know, turn in your equipment, see you next fall.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
Mm.
So I thought...
Bittersweet, huh?
Yeah.
Did you like the teammates, didn't you? You liked the camaraderie among the ballplayers?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Except for the big ones who would pick on you?
Right.
Yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, no matter what, you do remember one play in a game or in practice that you participated in that you never have forgotten. And what is that play?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is the play. It was an away game in Fulda, my old school. And we were on defense. I was playing cornerback. And Fulda tried a pass play. So their quarterback dropped back from the line and was looking for an open receiver. He didn't have any. So a couple of us broke through. And me and another guy got up in the quarterback's grill. He had to get rid of it quick. So he ended up throwing it to the other side of the field. It was intercepted, ran back for a touchdown. And then the other part of the memory is not so fun. Then one of our coaches started screaming at the guy, the other cornerback on the other side of the field, for not being close enough on his man. So this is just an example of why I wasn't enjoying football that much that year, because even with a play like that, they weren't happy. But I still enjoyed that play. I'll remember that forever. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody has a play they'll never forget.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of fun to ask that question, because I can see the people I'm talking to, their eyes light up and a smile. And there were a couple of kind of, they were multi-sport people. Well, should I talk baseball? Should I talk?
Yeah.
But no, it's a great memory to have. Yeah. So then you quit playing football. So what did you do to occupy yourself socially and mingling among other students? I can't imagine... You know, maybe you had a prayer breakfast.
No, not so
what
much.
What did you get involved in?
So I wasn't big on athletics, although I did play golf for almost all my high school and middle school time. But I was more into, I did drama, I was in musicals, one-act plays, was in speech. My favorite by far, though, was... I also did academic decathlon, but my favorite was a thing called Knowledge Bowl, which is like a competitive quiz thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'd have a team, and in a room you'd have three teams of people from different schools, and you have a buzzer, and they ask you questions, and you buzz in, and if you answer the question first, you get the point.
Yeah. They have a program, or at least they used to have, on national television that college kids worked their way up to. High school kids, they played elimination to get on that show.
Sure.
So Knowledge Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're involved in theater, what play or plays were you in?
So we did, let's see, my senior year we did Guys and Dolls. That was a blast.
You're a dancer?
I wouldn't say that, no.
All right.
We didn't do a whole lot with choreography. So that, yeah, Guys and Dolls, my junior year, we did Damn Yankees. That was fun. And those were the 2 years I did musicals. But Guys and Dolls, I got to be the character Harry the Horse. I don't know if you know the show, but he's one of the gangsters. So I got to kind of act
tough.
Preacher's
kid.
Yeah, that's right.
Gets to be the bad guy. That had to be fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Get to be a different person on stage.
And what was the junior production?
Damn Yankees.
And what, did you have a lead role or just part of, not just, but part of the, I mean.
Yeah, I think I had a character. It was like, gosh, I don't even know what his name was. But essentially it was a cast or a chorus role.
Were you in band at all?
I was, yes.
And what instrument?
I played clarinet.
And doesn't everybody?
The only guy to play clarinet. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was first chair. So.
Yeah. Smart move. All right. What did you read into that? That's a little joke. Read into that?
Yeah. Okay. Read music, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So first chair, clarinet. All the other rest, clarinetists were women, girls at that time.
Right.
Did you... have a a prom?
We did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you go?
I did, yeah.
How many times?
Junior year and senior year.
Who'd you take your junior year?
Oh, gosh. That would have been, her name was Rose.
Okay, how about your senior year?
And that would have been Rachel.
And you like ours. What's your wife's name?
Angelica. Angel. She goes by Angel.
I have a daughter named Angela.
Oh,
Angel.
Okay. She goes by Angel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was that, what, in Wyndham, how many kids graduated in 2006?
I think it was 95 or 96 in our graduating class.
That's a pretty intimate class.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 2006, 2 years ago, you had your 10-year class reunion.
Yes.
Did you go?
I did.
How was? Were you married?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how was that? Were you the MC?
No. Thankfully, our class president kind of took that on.
Okay.
And yeah, I was at the country club there in Wyndham, and got to see a lot of people I had not seen since graduation because I didn't go to the 5-year. It was really cool.
Did you find that some of the women at that time, girls,
yes,
in high school, some of them that you probably knew, but you see them in 10 years and they go, my gosh, she's really beautiful. I never knew that. Or, my gosh, what happened to her?
Yes, yeah.
Or, well, the women are saying the same thing about men.
Right.
Did you find that?
Yeah, there are a few of those, yeah. I mean,
and you're not supposed to be judgmental, right?
Right.
But you do. You just kind of do.
You wonder.
And I think I always have said, I think the 10-year class reunion is the most fun. That's when people are just beginning to peak and be adults, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's enough time away, I think, that you're feeling a little more secure, you know, that you cannot, I'm sure people still are thinking, oh, you know, comparing themselves to their classmates. And but I think after 10 years, I'm guessing most people are like, I'm comfortable with just being who I am, you know. Mm-hmm. I was at that point.
Well, what about like we say, the PK, the pastor's kid? What effect did that have on you and your social life?
Yeah, that's a good question. I, you know, growing up in Dundee, you know, this town of 100 people, it was definitely known that I was the PK. And so there are certain expectations that go with that. You know, you're supposed to behave well and not use foul language and just stay out of trouble generally. So there were times where I would get into trouble with, you know, friends around town, and I felt that sometimes the expectation or the punishment or whatever the consequences were felt unequal to me, that I was getting somehow judged more, and unfairly sometimes that would get reflected back onto my parents too, right? How could you raise your son to be like this, right?
Did your parents remind you of that, like, son?
No. They, you know, my parents were pretty good about not shaming me for stuff. They would, you know, they would point out when I was going astray, but they were never overbearing. So I'm thankful for the way I was raised. Then, you know, getting into high school, most of the kids in school had no connection to my congregation or to the churches that my parents were serving. So really there wasn't much overlap there. So I was kind of free to be who I was.
Did you have a best buddy?
I had a group, you know, there we were called the A cubed, because there were three Andrews. A cubed plus B, my friend Brandon. So we're a math cubed equation.
Did you get together and every once in a while?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'd hang out almost every weekend.
Did they know you were a minister's son?
They did, yeah.
Did they have the fun that people 19, 20, 21 have?
Eventually, yeah. I think we were a group of kind of late bloomers, so we didn't get too caught up in the, you know, the party scene in high school. I never went to one of those
keggers
out in the cornfield.
Oh, you don't know what you were missing.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, oh man, that would have been kind of fun. But, yeah, we just kind of didn't. We had our own thing going on. We were more in the video games and the just doing random stuff. We were weird, you know.
Now, tell me about that best shot, best round you had in high school as a golfer.
I was a terrible golfer in high school. I've gotten a lot better since then. I played on the C squad, so okay. I was just happy to be out on the course.
Did you ever break 100 while you were in high school?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ever break 90?
I may have once or twice. I was usually in the mid to upper 90s.
Okay.
When I played.
How about now?
Now I'm consistently kind of mid to upper 80s.
I'm in the low 80s.
Hey, that's pretty good.
When I golf, anything warmer than 82 degrees, I just forget it. I always, there was a little humor there. Did you notice how little it was? So you're real happy when you get under 88.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your game? Drive, putting,
well,
approach?
Recently my drive's been pretty good. I just played in a tournament on Friday in Kenyon. There was a charitable tournament to raise money for the Kenyon Senior Living there in town. And so we had a team of four. It was a best ball scramble. And we did pretty well as a team. We scored, let's see, 5 under.
Mm-hmm.
We're three off from the first place team. But we, on that last hole, I almost, or on the hole number one, if you know Kenyon, it's a short par four, a drivable green. I almost drove the green. I was so close. And but we ended up parring it because we couldn't putt. Yeah.
Have you ever golfed the Northfield course?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you should try it.
Maybe we should go out together sometime.
I only do charitable things.
Oh, okay.
I'm not very good at all. But I will say that the Laura Baker Service Association golf tournament, I think, was yesterday.
Mm.
And I was in that with my wife's boss from Sioux Falls. And I can never remember the other guy, and then the golf coach from St. Olaf College, a woman, last name Finger. Anyhow, we had the foursome. And did you gamble? Do you gamble what they call that, where you throw in $5 and whatever?
Into the pot, yeah.
And then the end, they figure out whatever it is. And we had a double eagle on 16. Golfers that have golfed that course know that's really amazing.
Wow.
And it was amazing, and I had nothing to do with it, except get one-fourth of the $800-plus dollars that were in the pot.
Nice.
Oh, I thought so.
Yeah.
Guy comes up to me, my wife's boss, owns part of a golf course in Sioux Falls, not obviously, but a very good golfer, obviously on that double eagle. Wayne, did you put in the money for the, I forget the name of what they call it, and I says, did you want to be in the game of da-da-da? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, then give me $10. And I said, okay, you know how it is at those scrambles, it's all kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, he had paid for the four of us and then was going to collect it on the course, but he never asked until the end. Uh-huh. And, I'm thinking, well, maybe I didn't want to be in it. Uh-huh. And I thought, no, so I gave him $10, and he gave me an envelope with a fourth of $800. Oh, that was a good deal.
Yeah.
22 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, I'm chit-chatting with a gentleman by the name of Pastor Drew. He is the pastor at Erland. We have him in high school right now. And I got to move along here. So high school was a fun, pleasant experience. Were you the homecoming king at all?
No, not even close. I said, I was kind of running with the crowd of some kind of the misfits. I got along with everyone, and I could, hang out with just about anyone, but wasn't in the popular crowd, we'll put it that way.
You weren't?
No.
Okay.
No.
And did you say you did go back to your 10th?
I did.
And what? Was that kind of a feeling, a good situation? Mm-hmm. Because, or did the popular crowd dominate the class reunion?
No, I don't think so. It felt like the experience of being there was kind of like a great equalizer. Like, we were all kind of, at least in my perception, we were all past the, you know, the silly stuff of high school where we thought that was so important to be, yeah. You know. And the other thing is, when you're in a class of 96 people, the social hierarchy isn't that intense. You know, you all know each other, and but you know, there is kind of the in crowd and the misfits and all that, and different cliques. But no, it really felt like being at the reunion was like, hey, we're all adults here. What's happening in your life now?
Yeah,
you know,
good for you.
Yeah,
Your senior year rolled around. Well, of course, your junior year, you're involved. Did you know you were going to go to college?
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, that was certainly the expectation from my parents. And I wanted to go to college for a year. So that was never really a question for me.
And did you have a desire of one school over another?
I knew I wanted to go to a four-year college. I kind of started looking at the Lutheran, the Lutheran schools around the state. You know, right here in town, St. Olaf, Carleton were on the list. I was looking at Gustavus. Let's see what else. But it kind of came down
Concordia.
To Concordia. I thought about
St. John's, St. Thomas.
Yeah,
St. Kate's.
McAllister was kind of on the list. But it really came down to two, St. Olaf and Gustavus. So I visited both, spent the night with a student host, and to really try to get the feel. And St. Olaf was great. I thought, oh man, I could really be a student here. But then when I went to Gustavus, something clicked and it just felt right. So that's where I decided to go.
And did the St. Olaf student take you downtown and walk around and so you could get a feeling of the community?
You know, I actually do remember he had like a student organization that was meeting at the Mexican restaurant. I forget which one. But he took me with, and so we had dinner there. And so that was kind of nice. Got to see a little bit of the community. But I was more concerned about, you know, what's on campus and, yeah, you know, show me around here. But now, you know, now as an adult and living in Cannon Falls, I've really come to appreciate the community of Northfield.
Have you been on the St. Olaf campus recently, does it look any different than when you looked at it back in 2006?
It's been a while since I've been on campus. I can't really
recall. You're going to be in for a surprise if you remember 2006.
Yeah. So what's been the major change?
Well, time flies so crazy for me. I'm thinking that Bunstrock wasn't there at the time, which is a new
Bunstrock, yeah,
a new place.
Okay,
it took place of the old place.
Okay, yeah,
which is now something else.
Sure, right.
But anyhow, it's a beautiful campus,
yeah.
And I don't think I've ever been on Gustavus campus. That's in St. Peter.
St. Peter, that's,
yeah,
right.
Well, yep, maybe I have been.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where you ended up.
That's where I ended up,
four,
yeah.
4 years.
Stayed there all 4 years. It's where I met my lovely wife, Angel. It's where I think, first came to realize that God was maybe calling me to be a pastor, and that seminary was the next step. So, yeah.
So you did 4 years at Gustavus,
mm-hmm,
got your bachelor's degree,
mm-hmm,
and then you had the calling you felt, and so that meant more schooling.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know as a senior year at Gustavus that you were definitely going to go into ministry?
You know, I wouldn't say it that way. I was still pretty unsure. Here's the thing. I picked my major out in my sophomore year, as we were required to do, and I thought, you know what? Religion is really interesting to me, but I was sure that I was not going to be a pastor. I knew I got to do something different than what my parents do. I got to blaze my own trail, you know. But I want to study religion as not as a, from a faith perspective, but really to actually from kind of a questioning and almost doubting. Like, I got to, you know, pull this apart, tease it apart. Where does this come from? And I found that interesting. Eventually through that, people came into my life, and I had a couple of experiences traveling abroad for one, and another at Holden Village that really I felt God speaking to me. And I had a couple teachers as well who came to me and said, have you thought about seminary? So that's when I started listening. But I was still at that point thinking, gosh, I don't know if being a pastor is for me. But I could start seminary. We'll see how it goes.
No, when you were studying the theology, mm-hmm. You were looking at all the faiths, right? I mean, and their practices.
In a way.
I mean, like mm-hmm. Christianity, you probably explored mm-hmm. Presbyterian, Protestant, Lutheran, mm-hmm. Catholic, Baptist, and Fundamentalist, and Mary something Baker Eddy, mm-hmm. who started mm-hmm. her own religion. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, having grown up with a Christian Lutheran mm-hmm. Background, that would be kind of interesting to find out what others think.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
Because in my era, it was Catholic mm-hmm. and others. Mm. And we could go to weddings and we can go to funerals, mm-hmm. but we couldn't go in the church mm. other than that and participate in any of their mm. ceremonies. Mm. That's back in the 40s and 50s.
Sure.
What was that like for you? While you're thinking about it, mm. we'll take a break.
All right.
And you can come back and do comparative analysis for us. Our guest this morning on KYMN Radio, Pastor Drew from the Erlen Church on your way to Highway 52 on County Road 9.
Hay season is save season at John Deere. For a limited time, enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. Pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn just how much you can save on these hard-working hay tools and get high performance at a low cost season after season. Offer ends October 26, 2018. Terms and conditions apply. See your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details.
Help me on this. Make sure I'm not playing the wrong one. Number 6. I'm just beginning. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Should I be careful?
I think you're safe.
Okay.
Staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate the world.
Sorry, I got it.
What is it?
It's Unwritten by, I'm cheating here, Natasha.
Oh, are you using your sound down?
My wife just texted me the answer.
Oh.
She's listening.
Thanks a lot, Angelina or Angel.
Angel, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's Natasha Bedingfield.
Mm-hmm.
But you do remember the song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad there are some songs that don't have vulgarity. All right. It is 10:31 on 1080 Radio, KYMN. And my question before we took a real brief break was, what did you discover when you were doing studying religion or theology at Gustavus Adolphus, mm-hmm. And you being raised a Lutheran, got to look at all the other Christian practices.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, at Gustavus, it was even broader. We had some interfaith studies, too, so not just Christian, but had a class on Islam. Some of the biblical classes focused on Jewish tradition as well. And I had kind of a history of religion in America that looked at really kind of the whole landscape of everything in America and kind of how it came to be here, from all the Christian denominations to, you know, Islam, Hinduism, everything, right?
Buddhism,
yeah, everything, and the many, many interesting things that popped up right here in America, like Mormonism and you know, some of the more fringe stuff. So yeah, it was really eye opening to discover just how broad and varied religious expression is, especially in this country, but throughout the world and throughout history.
Zealots come to mind.
Mm.
You think about back in right around 1088, where the Pope hired a guy to go out and take on the Muslims.
Mm. Yes, the Crusades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think, wait a minute, aren't they peace-loving people, and they're out slaughtering each other?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Irish. You brought up something about your heritage as Irish. I mean, the Protestants and the Catholics over there.
Yes.
It seems kind of weird to me that...
Yeah. It's fundamentalism. You can find it in every religion. There are extremists in every group, and so that's where we get into trouble, is when we claim our way of seeing God and seeing the world is the only way. That often leads to violence.
And that's the only way we will allow you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. You have to accept this or else, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the years that you spent at St. Peter's, you had the opportunity to meet your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And did you get married while you were in college?
No, we got married a year after we graduated. I had started seminary, and my wife was working as a nurse at the time.
So you started seminary, and I want to know which seminary you chose.
Luther in St. Paul. It's the flagship of all ELCA seminaries in the country. It's also where my parents went, and it was the closest. So it really made sense.
How's tuition in a school like that?
You know, compared to other graduate schools, it's more affordable, although this is another issue we're working on in the church, is making it even more affordable, because often you have to take it along with the four-year student debt that often students are coming with, right? We require a bachelor's degree if you want to be a pastor and get the Master of Divinity degree at seminary. So often students are coming in with, I think the average debt load is around $40,000 to $50,000.
Oh my goodness!
And then you add seminary on top of that. So just this year, Luther Seminary is starting something that is pretty groundbreaking. All admitted students they're calling it the Jubilee Scholarship, reference to the biblical year of Jubilee, where all debts would be forgiven. And the Jubilee Scholarship is a free ride to anyone who is going for, I think it's either Master of Divinity or a Master of Arts at Luther. So we're really trying to work on making it more affordable. We're facing a shortage of pastors coming down the pike here as the baby boomer generation retires, and those pastors retire. A real shortage, even though there are plenty of congregations who want and need pastors. So making it affordable is kind of one of the key things that we need to do.
Where is Luther? Where's the campus?
It's in St. Paul, kind of right between the two downtowns, on Como Avenue, Como and 280.
Oh, by KSTP.
Yeah, yeah.
Tower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Close to the fairgrounds.
How big is the campus? How many stories are the buildings?
So there used to be two seminaries there right next to each other, and they combined, I think, in the late 80s. And so there's kind of an upper and lower campus, and the number of buildings, somewhere around, well, it used to be more, I think like six buildings, but they're consolidating now. That's part of the long-term plan, is that they are to make the seminary more financially sustainable, to reduce their physical footprint. And So they're kind of looking at plans for that. So important work, but it's also kind of painful, right, to have to let go of some of that history and that physical presence.
Speaking about painful, mm-hmm. how about we take a break and you play the guitar and sing us a song?
I'll hurt your ears, yes.
Oh, no, it'll be fun. You know, just act like you're in front of your congregants,
okay,
or the youth of your congregation. Yes. But we'll take this brief break on KYMN Radio while he straps on his guitar. My guest this morning is Pastor Drew from the Erlin Church in Cannon Falls.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800. Or find out more at threelinks.org.
It is 22 minutes before 11 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you definitely can count on. And I have a gentleman here by the name of, Pastor Drew, he goes by. And his name is Andrew Martin Julien Yackel. And he is the pastor, as I mentioned, from Erlin Church, and we are going to have him sing a song. You can intro your song, do whatever you want. Just hey, that's a pretty guitar.
Yeah, thanks.
Is it black or does it just look like black?
Yeah, it's all black. I got this in college. It's a Fender.
Yeah, it's Fender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
well, okay, the show's all yours.
So Wayne, when we talked on the phone yesterday, you asked if I played an instrument. I said, yeah, I play guitar, and you asked if we could sing a song. So I don't know if you want to sing with me.
the answer is I'm generally not bashful.
Okay.
No. Okay. I would have to know what key you're going to start off in.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll do. We'll be in the key of A, and this. So I had to ask Wayne, well, what's your favorite hymn? And he said, How Great Thou Art. I said, well, that's a great one.
I'm going to just let you handle it.
All right.
Okay.
So let's sing How Great Thou Art. If you're listening, maybe you can sing along. And let's just do maybe three of these stanzas. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
We can stop there. There's a couple more stanzas, but... Yeah.
Oh, Lord, my God. I just like that song. I'll tell you the history behind this. Some of my regular listeners know, but I have to tell you, when I first got into my broadcast career, the station I worked at some minister bought 15 minutes of airtime, and then he'd come in and do a 15-minute deal. And he'd come into the, he had his own room, own studio that we had mic'd up. Then he came in with a record album and said, here, play cut 4 or whatever it was. And I said, okay. So I queued up the record back in the old days and got it all ready. And now I'm sitting there, and as a young man in my very early 20s, sitting and listening to a minister for 15 minutes was tolerable because, you know, you want to play rock and roll music.
Right.
Let's get going here.
Right.
And so, I dropped the needle, queued it up. He was doing his thing. Then he called for me to play the song, and I started it. And I had never, ever heard that song before, ever. And I was raised Catholic, so I could sing a lot of songs in Latin. I never heard that song before, and I just loved it.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's the story behind why that's my favorite song.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I love that story.
Well, see, here's what's happening. Right now it's 16 minutes before it is 11 o'clock, and what I want to do is I'd like to invite you to come back on a Friday when I do an hour show at 10 in the morning till 11, and kind of do... graduation from Luther and to where you are today and what that road was like. To kind of get into that particular part of your life, we can do that for an hour. You know, how did you end up at Erlin? What do you think about Erlin? I know that at Erlin, there was a split in the congregation maybe 2 years before you arrived. And how did you handle that? So we'll do that, okay?
Yeah.
All right. But right now, let's talk about school. When you and Angela, she became a nurse. Where did she go to school?
Well, she went to college at Gustavus, which is where we met, and then she got her RN, practiced. She worked at a Head Start in St. Paul, Head Start school nurse. Then she did for a while working at a birth center, freestanding birth center, you know, labor and delivery. And that wasn't quite for her either. So eventually she started school through Georgetown University in D.C., mostly online, to become a nurse practitioner, family nurse practitioner.
Oh.
And so that's what she's doing now. She works at the clinic in Hastings.
Well, that's a pretty good job.
It is, yeah.
I saw one of those yesterday.
Nurse practitioner?
Yeah. And you know what I asked him?
What?
Are you ready?
I don't know.
I said... Okay, I'm here because I have concern over a particular situation to see a doctor. And I did see a doctor. Was it a nurse practitioner? It was a doctor.
Okay.
But I was talking to the young lady that was in her fourth year of med school, and she would go on to do that other stuff. After her experience here in Northfield. And the question is this. You go to the doctor, and they give you a nurse practitioner, all right? Now, when they bill you, let's say $50, okay? You say, I didn't see a doctor. I saw a nurse practitioner. And how come you're charging me the same for both?
Yeah.
Well, and Let me finish.
Okay.
Go ahead. And then I asked, I says, you think you make as much money as a doctor, mm-hmm. as a nurse practitioner? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
But they charge you the same mm-hmm. as if it were a doctor. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to start a little trouble, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wish Angel were here to answer why that might be. You're right. Nurse practitioners are not typically paid as much as physicians, even though much of the work they do is the same. And a nurse practitioner can do much of what a physician can, diagnosis, prescribing, mm-hmm. All of that. But yes, clinics, hospitals will still probably typically charge more or the same, you know, the same for both, you know, they're both, healthcare providers. So, I guess I'm not a hospital administrator.
I'll tell you what, I know the hospital administrator here, and I don't know if I'd ask him the question because I don't want to spot, but in pure logic, if, A is making $100 an hour and B is making $75 an hour, mm-hmm. and they charge the same for both the hours, it isn't right to the patient.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
to the people that take their car to a mechanic,
yeah.
et cetera.
Right.
I didn't bring you here to argue that. Okay, she can speak for herself.
Yeah.
And maybe when you come in on Friday.
Maybe we'll have an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 12 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, and our guest this morning is Pastor Drew from the Erlen Church, located on County Road 9 between Denison and Highway 56. I think I got that right. Or no, between Highway 56 and Highway 52.
Yes.
Yes, and it's got a big parking lot, and you can enter on the north, west side or the east side.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I was down there to see my prosthetist one day in Rochester, and he had a patient to see, but we were going out to lunch. And so we went across street, and we ordered our food, and he had to get back to see a patient. And anyhow, I asked the guy, he brought the food, and he said, can you make that to go? And the guy said, oh, sure. So he put it in to go, styrofoam.
Uh-huh.
And so my prosthetist went back to his office, and I went home. Uh-huh. But I had this burger with fries, and I was hungry. Uh-huh. I thought, where am I going to eat that? I'm not going to eat it while I'm driving because it's one of those big, you know, bacon burgers with cheese and all that. So I'm thinking, oh, I know where. So I got on 56, I got on 9.
Uh-huh.
Pulled into your east parking lot, and then ate my sandwich. People would go by like, who is this guy parked Winky Wonk in the park? And people do, you know, check it out when they go by.
Yeah.
And you have that wonderful cemetery there. Mm. We'll talk about that at our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take a break now, and you must have some more college stories, high school stories, mom and dad stories. We can talk about Liz and Eli and find out what they're up to, too.
Mm-hmm.
It is 9 minutes before 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.
You buy something because you got it for a low price, and soon you realize it's no bargain because you really needed something better. It happens all the time, especially with car insurance. But the good news is you can get the right coverage at the right price. Just talk to me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell. I'll help you get the right coverage at a price that's right for you. Call me at 645-4545 today.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
Syngenta Seeds in Stanton would like to invite you to the Rice County Fair in Faribault and take in all of the 4-H and FFA exhibits and shows throughout the week. Syngenta Seeds in Stanton is busy working in the fields, labs, and giving tours. That's right. Contact your Syngenta Seeds rep for a demo plot tour and come see their products in action. Syngenta Seeds is a proud supporter of the 4-H and FFA and hopes you can take in the Rice County Fair this week.
No fighting. Are we okay with this one? No fighting. Shakira,
Shakira.
I'm not sure.
I'm
but
not
I think
sure
I,
either.
I think I know who's going to be in the song, though. It sounds like we got the hint right there, Shakira.
It's Shakira. Oh, she's that beautiful one that crawls around like a tiger in a cage.
I'm not familiar
well,
with
Well, I
that
saw
one.
A video like that. Okay. And her name was Shakira. Uh-huh. And this is called Hips Don't Lie. Maybe I don't want to play that one. Let's see. We did... we're trying to... Folks, if you just tuned in, he graduated from high school in 2006, and I don't trust the music from 2006. I don't have the radio edit copies. I have the real copies. And I just don't want to... play something I shouldn't. Okay, let's try this one. I don't think this guy would swear in a song. You know this one?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? Is it dangerous?
Well, the refrain is who's your sexy now? Oh.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
A great talent.
Yep.
And it's called Sexy Back or something.
Sexy Back, right. Yeah. Bringing Sexy Back.
Well, then, how about this one? I think this one would be safe from 2006. I don't know. It's Beyonce, and I only know her good songs. And, I don't trust that rap. Can you imagine those people when they're my age and they're at a class reunion?
Yeah. Hey, baby, good to see you. I'm really back. And I hope they
that would be an interesting reunion.
And then do the dances.
I would pay to go to that reunion.
Amen. I'd like to live long enough to go to that reunion. Once again, our guest this morning on KYMN Radio is the Reverend Pastor Drew from the Earland Church. And we're going to have him back, and he's going to talk about what his schooling was like at Luther. And this is your first calling. Is that what you call it, or calling?
Call, yeah.
And you have to be interviewed by the board of directors or whatever you call it, and you also have to be recommended by a group of individuals who overlook people going out and serving as ministers for the ELCA.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know Steve? He's bigwig in the ELCA right now. What's my neighbor?
Stephen Delzer?
Yes, thank you.
He's our bishop, actually, right now in our this synod, southeastern Minnesota. Yeah. So, you're a neighbor. Okay.
Yeah, he's living in Faribault now, but when we were living in the same neighborhood, and he was going to leave, and then the neighborhood protested, and he pulled a for sale sign, but ultimately he did put it back in and sold his home and went into a church down in Faribault.
Right.
And years ago, 1990 to be exact, I think it was, they had this award that they give out from the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee, and I was recognized, and he was asked to speak at this thing, and he made a nice speech, you know, Steve. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I got you something, Wayne, and it was a huge chocolate chip cookie. I said, Reverend, you're giving a diabetic. So that's kind of fun and teasing there. He had a wonderful deck on the back of his house, too.
Okay.
Do you know Dwayne Everson?
I don't, no.
Okay, he used to be at St. Peter's here in town.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of some others, but anyhow, you must know some of the guys, ladies from Northfield.
Yes.
Do you kind of work with Kenyon and Northfield and Red Wing and Hastings?
Yeah, to some extent. You know, most closely with my colleagues in Cannon Falls, but we do some things with, more the Kenyon area or sometimes with Northfield. Kind of on the synod level, there's more collaboration there, too. Our bishop's office, Stephen Delzer's office, is in Rochester, along with our synod staff. And it's really this whole corner of the state that we are together.
How about Liz? Where is she at now? That's your sister that is 2 years younger than you.
Yeah, she's living in Bloomington with her husband, Alex. And she... They're happy there in Bloomington. They're actually working on starting a company right now. The basis of which is trading grain on an internet-based platform. So Alex, her husband, is a coder, a programmer, and so he's developing this web-based platform to trade grain. That's his father's business. So he's thinking of ways to make it more efficient and more, just accessible, I guess. So that's what they've been working on.
That can be hugely successful or just be very expensively dropped.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But that's what you got to do. You got to take a chance.
It's a risk.
What about your little brother, Eli?
Eli just graduated from college, Augustana College, last May. And he's actually living with my sister Liz, but he's in a kind of a transition time right now. He's got his teaching license. That's kind of what he feels his calling is, but he, for the next year, starting in August, will be serving abroad as a missionary of sorts through the ELCA in Jerusalem or in the area around Jerusalem. He just found out that he'll actually be in the town of Ramallah in Palestinian territory. So he'll be teaching.
Ducking.
I think, hopefully not. Yeah, I worry a little bit about that. Yeah. You know, there has been a lot of recent protests, but overall it's pretty safe. They have ways of knowing when, you know, these things sort of pop up and
ways to keep
safe. Have
you ever served on an overseas missionary?
For short periods, we did a trip to South Africa once.
Okay.
It was a couple of weeks and connected with churches there in the rural parts of South Africa, and we did some kind of agricultural projects. That was a pretty neat experience, but nothing more than a few weeks. Pretty proud of Eli. He's going to do great. And,
when's the last time, you and Eli and Liz and your mom and dad all got together?
Oh, good question. It would have been, we went to a Twins game. The weekend after the 4th.
Oh, so it's been nice. Recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll work with you again on, graduation from Luther, and then your first calling, which is the Erlenet Church in Sogn Valley. You do refer to Sogn Valley, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And we're kind of like right on the crest of the valley. So, yeah, it's a very beautiful area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we'll talk about, how you felt comfortable moving into a small town and a small congregation as compared to experiences you had before, which mm-hmm. were plentiful. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Wayne. This has been great.
Okay. Once again, our guest this morning, Andrew Martin Julien Yackel. He is the pastor at Erlen Church on County Road 9, and he goes by Pastor Drew. You know who he reminded me of?
Who?
Have you ever watched the show In the Middle? The Middle?
The Middle. No, I haven't.
It's a family, the Heck family.
Okay.
And it's a good show. It teaches a lesson. Some people would say it. It was funny. It was funny. Uh-huh. Some people might say a little, whatever. I liked the show.
Yeah.
And there was Sue, who was a very positive young lady. And they had a minister role that would pop up every once in a while. And I'm not going to remember his name. Let's say it was Pastor Drew.
Okay.
And she'd tell him about something, and he'd end up singing, "When You're..." You know, and he'd make up these, and he was just a nice guy. He was young and always smiling and played the guitar and sang these songs, not songs for the show, you know, telling the story about here's how you overcome this or something.
Huh.
And in a fun way.
Yeah.
You remind me of him.
Okay. I'll take that as a compliment. I'll have to watch the show.
Well, and you know, he might appear nerdy to somebody. You do not appear nerdy at all.
Oh, I'm a nerd.
But you just kind of, you know, you just look like the nice, fresh young minister who has hope for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you again for being here.